On this page, Miklos Neasley, Lessons on Class, I wrote the following. This morning, and this was October 31st, I listened to an interview with a man whose name is Jack L. High, who's written a book called The Nazi and the Psychiatrist about the life of a man sent by the U.S. military in 1945 to evaluate the captured Nazi leadership to determine their mental fitness for standing trial. And listening, what surprised me most was the apparent belief of the interviewer that there had to be some common pathology that the leadership suffered from. He kept digging to try to figure out what that was. Near the end of the interview, he said, well, did this psychiatrist, Dr. Douglas Kelly, did he ever find that trait? When had we been discussing it? Had we been discussing Alice Miller, Miklos Neasley, Karl Popper, it would have been obvious for all of us that the pathology is the class system itself. There's a total absence of logic in the way work is discussed across the political spectrum. Again, this speaks to the reality that the class system is totalitarian. A single pattern of thought is what that word means, impressed across all aspects of society. The obvious truth that we're captives within the coerced work system, whether it's the money illusion, always undergirded with manufactured scarcity, the money illusion or the illusion of our betters that coerces us. And we're going to be talking more about how this, it's kind of a hidden coercion when we seem to give our assent. We see this across age, but young people, I think, are more vulnerable to this because they're new to the experience and of dealing with this system. And so when someone in authority says, this is the right thing to do, you know, I mean, youth are, you know, it makes sense under healthy terms for young people to look to more experienced people for guidance. So the statesmen are trying to claim exclusive possession of that quality called guidance because the youth are looking for it. And they want to be the ones to give it. They want to have the roots all nicely paved and said, here, go this way and you'll find the guidance you need. And I've learned in my life that that's a lie. The guidance that we need, I had to fight my way to, or in some cases, float my way to, right? The ancestors can sometimes sort of pick you up and carry you along or bring things to you, but it definitely wasn't given to me by the system. So there is a hidden coercion when our leadership capacities are monopolized by the few, and we all come to this earth striving to figure it out for knowledge. So there, if they say there's no way to get it but through us, that's a kind of a coercion because it's a necessary for us, as for all living things, knowledge. So they manufacture scarcity there as well. So when we don't speak or hear the truth spoken, that our gifts are coerced in a coerced work system, when we don't hear that over the airwaves. And then on the other hand, we hear all this this judgment, this accusatory anger directed at folks who are doing their job because the paycheck has a powerful hold over us. We've been atomized. We don't have any other source of survival. And yet it's contradictory, the discourse. We hear all this attacks on people who, like the firefighters who let the man drown. It wasn't in their job description. The cops who hurt us. The folks who fly the drones. There is this assumption we that we uniformly hear over the airwaves, that they are responsible. And that anger never broadens out to embrace the class system itself. That's nuts. It's an insane assumption because it flies against all of our personal experience when we are that person in that job, right? And we know that there's certain walls we cannot heave ourselves over or even peek over if we want to keep that job. And so it's not a fair position to put us in. We are supposedly independent actors responsible for what we do. And yet, the resources we need to survive are kept in the hands of the few. And if that were spoken, we could start talking about it. But no interviewer ever states the obvious. No interviewer ever calls any of these pundits who express this outrage on it. They never state the obvious. And to live under such patent insanity does violence to what we are as human beings. It undermines our humanity. This is that moment that Christopher Fry spoke of. That time when wrong comes up to face us everywhere. The longest stride of soul men ever took is that stride that's in front of us right now. We have to represent for humanity itself. It is at risk.